I want to talk today about being positioned for victory. We need to be positioned for victory.
Amen.
You know, just like I always like to pray before we share the word, because we want to be positioned to receive the word in the fullness of the word. When I personally read my Bible, when I open it up, I say, Holy Spirit, give me revelation of this word, because I want to be positioned to receive what he has for me. And so I think we all want to walk in victory, and we are walking in victory, but we can walk in more victory than we ever have before. And we can be so positioned that victory is our mindset.
Yes.
You know, we need to have a victory mindset and go from victory to victory. So I want to look at Matthew 7, verses 24 to 27 will be our first passage that we look at. And actually, we sing about this too. Matthew 7, 24. We're talking about the basis of our divine relationship with God, which is by faith, and which is essential. Everything else builds upon that. In verse 24, it reads, Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock.
Amen.
But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Our foundation is Jesus Christ. Our faith in him, our belief in him, our trust in him, and it has to stay there. It has to be focused on him. Everything that we are, everything that we do, must be focused on Jesus Christ. And I think we can all testify that there are storms that come our way. That's part of living. That storms are going to come. Did you notice they came on the one that was built on the rock and the one that was built on the sand? So there's going to be rain. There's going to be storms. There's going to be challenges. There's going to be opportunities to be distracted. But we're not going that way. Because our house is built on the rock, which is Jesus Christ.
Yes.
That is a firm foundation.
Amen.
And that foundation's not being shaken. He is rock solid. He's not changing. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yes.
And so we have to put our faith, our trust, what we're looking at, what we're thinking about, what we're meditating on him, on his faithfulness, on how he is so solid, such a strong foundation. You know, sometimes our emotions, sometimes our body, sometimes the circumstance feel a little shaky, not quite so firm. But we've got to remember, we've got to bring to remembrance, I'm standing on Christ the solid rock. He is that sure foundation underneath my feet. And he's not going to let anything happen. He's not going to be shaken. And by faith, I can do all things through Christ. He's there. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. And we need to remember that he is there. And that he is that firm foundation. Not looking at the situation, not looking at the circumstance, not listening to the voice that want to tell you something else, but the truth of what God's Word says.
Yes.
And who he is.
Amen.
In John 15, verses 4 and 5, it goes on to speak more about this in our divine union with him and the place faith has in our lives. John 15, verse 4 says, Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing.
Oh. Yes.
Whenever I read this scripture, I always think one of my girls, when they were just real little, like 2 and 3, they would sing Abiding in the Vine. They couldn't really say the words, but Abiding in the Vine, you know. Abiding in the Vine, Abiding in the Vine. He is the vine, and we are the branches. That's a divine union. Everything that's in the vine is going to the branches. He's giving us a picture in the natural to understand the spiritual. Abiding in the vine. Staying in, living in, dwelling in, drawing from Him. As most of you that have been around here, you know one of my favorite verses out of Isaiah is, therefore with joy will we draw water from the wells of salvation. He's in us, and we draw on that anointing. We draw on everything He is. We draw on peace. We draw on healing. We draw on strength. We draw on confidence. We draw on freedom. We draw on everything He is. Well, that's a good picture of the vine and the branch, because the branch pulls everything from the vine, and He is the vine. And we have to remain that constant union with Him, drawing from Him. Abiding in the vine. And He says as we do that, there's going to be much fruit in our life.
Amen.
You know, so many people walk around without purpose, without destiny, without calling, because who cares what matters, you know? But in Him, all that's found. We are found in Him. We have purpose. We have destiny. We have calling. We have contentment. We have hope. All of it that comes from Him. Abiding in the vine.
Amen.
Divine union with Him. And of course, we all know that we can do nothing apart from Him. Nothing apart from Him. You know, we can try, and I'm sure we all have. And it doesn't work. It doesn't work. It's not lasting fruit. It's not something that's going to change our lives. God's the one that comes in and changes our lives. He's the one that enables us to go witnessing. He's the one that enables us to speak boldly the Word of God. He's the one that gives us peace. He's just everything. I want to read a passage to you out of John 5, verses 4 and 5. It's the same passage we just looked at, but it's in Amplified. It says, dwell in me, and I will dwell in you. Live in me, and I will live in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without abiding in, being vitally united to the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever lives in me and I in him bears much abundant fruit. However, apart from me, cut off from my vital union with me, you can do nothing. Sometimes I think Amplified just gives us a little more oomph, so that we can just see how important that divine union is with Him. Divine union with Christ. And just to think, we can have that. Just to think, the Savior of the world, the God of all creation, we can have that kind of divine union with Him. And out of that divine union with Him is how we're going to walk in victory. How we're going to be prepared for everything that comes our way. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we had a lot of challenges in the body. But we got lots of victory testimonies right now. Because we stood upon the rock. Because we prayed. Because we declared the word. Because we knew He was faithful. Because we had a divine union with Him. I want to read out of Psalm 62. If you want to turn there with me, I'm going to read verses 5 to 8 out of Psalm 62. Thank you, Jesus. My soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from Him. Oh, that's where our expectation needs to be, from Him and Him alone. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. Okay, did anybody get that one? I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. No matter what the situation, no matter what the circumstance. Because He is my rock. He is my shelter. He is my defense. He is my God. He is everything. And David had been there when he wrote this, right? And God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. And then he exhorts us, trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. The reason I had a hard time saying which scriptures, Lord, is because there's so many that talk about how good he is, how awesome he is, how faithful he is, and how he is the source of our victory.
Amen.
You know, I don't know how people do it without Jesus. I don't know how they do it.
They don't. I didn't.
You know, I didn't have peace. I didn't have joy. I didn't have victory. I didn't have hope. But now I do. Because it's in him.
Yes.
It's in him.
Joy.
It's in him.
Joy.
Everlasting. And abundant.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I'm going to give you just a couple of quick references here. In Romans 1:17, it says, the just shall live by faith. That's found four times in the Bible. Once in the Old Testament, three in the New Testament. The just shall live by faith. Who's the just? That's us. Because he's made us righteous and he's made us just before God. Christ has. And it says, we shall live by faith. That doesn't mean we visit faith once in a while. Well, I feel like walking in faith today. It means I live out of a place of faith, trusting him, believing him, believing his word every day, every moment. I shall live by faith. Not by anything else. Not by dreams. Worldly dreams. God's dreams are great. Not by financial provision. Not by the right friends. Not by the right position. But I shall live by faith in him.
Amen.
And then he gives us all those other things because he wants to bless us.
Amen.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Because he wants to bless us. And then in 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says, we walk by faith, not by sight. You know, sometimes when I'm praying and praying for others, sometimes I'm like, God, put the blinders on, you know, so that we're looking at God. We're looking at his word like we're supposed to be, not being distracted by what's over here or what's over there, not by the situation or the circumstance. Just like Peter when he went to walk on the water and then he saw the winds and the waves and started to sink. Then he called out to the Lord and he lifted him up. We walk by faith, not by sight. We have to walk by faith. We're not getting anywhere if we don't walk by faith. And if we're going to go from faith to faith, like the Word talks about, if we're going to grow in him, we've got to exercise that faith.
Yes. That's right.
Not just what we can see. Not just what we already know. But faith, because we trust him, we believe in him, and we know he's faithful.
There's so much you can do. Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Bobby's just overflowing today, aren't you?
Hallelujah.
Psalm 37:3 says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Psalm 37:3, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. You know, stay in that place with God. And feed on his faithfulness. What are you feeding on? What are you thinking about? What are you meditating on? Feed on his faithfulness. Feed on his faithfulness. Underline, underline, underline. Live in that place in the Spirit in God. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. You know, we choose what goes in here in our minds. And if it's the Word, we're going to have lots of resources to draw on. Because that word is an imperishable seed and it's on the inside of us. And therefore with joy do we draw it out from the wells of salvation. Oh, he's so faithful. We got to put the word in. Got to put the word in. I love this scripture in Jeremiah 17. Verses 7 and 8. Of course, I love all the word. But this one says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Anybody say yes and amen to that?
Amen.
Blessed
amen.
Is the man who trusts in the Lord.
Yes,
and whose hope is in the Lord.
Yes.
For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought,
yes,
nor will cease from yielding fruit. We're talking about you. If you trust in the Lord and if you hope in the Lord, this is a picture of who you are. Just see yourself as I say it again. For he shall be, for you shall be, like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river. And you will not fear when heat comes. You will not fear when heat comes. But your leaf will be green, and you will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will you cease from yielding fruit.
Amen.
Ah.
Amen.
You know, we talk about seeing things in the Scripture. Just see yourself in that place. See yourself as that tree, and your roots can just spread out by the waters of God. Oh, and you're not anxious if the heat comes. You're not anxious if drought comes because you've got those widespread roots that go deep into the waters of God.
Hallelujah.
And you're going to yield fruit and yield fruit and yield fruit.
You're not an evergreen. You're an always green.
Hallelujah. Forever and ever and ever. Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord. Mm-mm-mm. The next thing I want us to look at is about the Word specifically. John 8, 31 and 32. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Word is an awesome gift the Lord has given to us. We need faith, as we just talked about, divine relationship with him, and we need his word. John 8, 31 and 32 says, Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Yes.
I think we were talking about freedom when we were singing this morning, weren't we?
Yes, we were.
Freedom, freedom. Anybody like freedom? Oh, I like it lots better. You know, I used to be captive to fear. I used to be captive to some other things. But he set me free. He set each one of you free. That's what he does. It's what he wants to do. And as we position ourselves before him and receive from him, we can have freedom in our lives.
Amen.
People still get tickled at me because I said, when I was in school, I couldn't stand up and give a book report. I had so much fear, I'd stand up, open my mouth, and nothing would come out. You know, but when I got full of the Word and full of the Holy Spirit, well, this is a new person standing before you.
Yes.
Because it's the grace of God. It's the power of God. It's the anointing of God. It's the Word of God that brings freedom. And if we will abide in the Word, if we'll stay in the Word, if we'll love the Word, if we'll listen to the Word, if we'll obey the Word,
redemption,
then we're going to be free.
Amen.
We're
going
to get free. You know, I've gotten freer and freer and freer and freer by walking with God, by staying in the Word and staying in the power of the Spirit. You know, some of the handouts that we do, one of them is on victory over anger. You know what that is? That's declaring the Word to get free from anger.
Hallelujah.
One of them is confessions of faith that talks about healing. How's it done? By the Word. By faith. By the Word. By the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
This is how it reads in the Amplified. If you abide in my word, hold fast to my teachings and live in accordance with them, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You know, deception is out there. You know, there's a lot of that floating around. It wants to trick us, deceive us, ensnare us, entrap us. But the truth shows us what is real and what is not.
Amen.
That's right. And then we're set free.
Yes.
I've heard this acronym for fear. False evidence appearing real.
Nice.
False evidence appearing real. That's fear. You know, that deception that comes in. Messes up what truth is. Truth is the Word of God. And if you get the truth of God's Word on the inside of you, anything that comes up that doesn't measure up to that Word, isn't in line with that truth, you know, that's not true. Because the Word of God is truth. That's the standard. That is what is true. The Word of God is truth. Even as Jesus was praying for his disciples and those who would follow him, which were included in that group in John 17, 17, it says, sanctify them by your truth. You know, Jesus is praying to the Father, and he says, sanctify my followers by truth.
Yes.
And the truth is your word.
Yes.
Sanctify them. Cleanse them. Make them strong. Make them healthy. Make them whole. Pure by the word. Amplified says, purify, consecrate, separate them for yourself. Make them holy by the truth. Your word is truth. Your word is truth. Your word is true. So sometimes situation or circumstance doesn't line up with the word of God. So you take authority by the word of God. Amen. And there's lots of promises of God in the word. And in 2 Corinthians 1:20, it says, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen. To the glory of God through us. What are those promises there for? They're for us, God's people.
Amen.
And as we walk in those promises, as we declare those promises and receive the answers from God, then we're a glory to him. We glorify him. All the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. God chose us to the glory of God through us. Through us. Through us. Everybody got it? The glory of God needs to be flowing through you.
That's right.
And as you walk in truth, as you walk in victory, as you walk in the Word, as you walk in faith, God's getting glory.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Oh. Yes.
God's got an awesome plan. In 1 John 4:4, greater is he who is in you than he that's in the world.
Amen.
Greater, greater. This is the way I say it because Holy Spirit gave me revelation of it years ago. Greater, 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 so much greater is the power of God that is within you than any other force or power.
Amen.
Greater, 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 greater. Get a picture of it. Greater, greater, greater. You know, and that's why I always pray for revelation. I pray for revelation for myself. I pray for revelation for others when I'm praying for them. Because revelation is revealed truth, knowing it in a way clearer and deeper than you've ever known it before. And once you get revelation, it's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
You've got it on the inside of you. And so one day, Holy Spirit says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I'm like, and I just knew greater. I needed to know more depths of greater, 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 greater. And then he said, it's like this. You know, it's like the enemy is one drop of water. And what God on the inside of you is, it's like all the waters that covered the earth in the day of Noah. I got a picture of greater. You know, the waters from the heavens, the waters from the earth, the waters that covered the earth. That's a lot more than a drop of water.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes we think the devil's just pretty up there close in what he's able to do. And that's just a lie. It's one drop of water compared to the waters that flooded the whole earth. Greater, 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 so much greater. That's how I got that. Greater, greater, so much greater. So when we're having a hard time, what ought to rise up on the inside of us is some of this word like that one. Greater, 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 greater. So much greater is the power of God in me.
Yes.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And therefore with joy do I draw healing from the wells of salvation.
Amen.
Do I draw peace from the wells of salvation? And of course in Philippians 4:13 says, I can do how many things? All things through Christ who strengthens me.
Yes.
I can do all things, all things, all things, all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Yes.
There's a lot of things I can't do outside God. But praise God, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Yes.
And you know, he usually stretches us that way. I can't do anything. Yes, you can. You can do all things through me because I'm strengthening you. You know, and that's when we grow the most. We know that we can't do it of ourselves. We don't have the ability. But he wants us to draw branch from the vine. He wants us to draw his anointing, his strength,
amen,
his wisdom, his ability to do that which he's called us to do. And that's more than enough provision to get anything done, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Sometimes when there's a hard time, you know, and sickness or poverty or whatever is coming, and you just want to, you have to rise up, you know, not bow beneath the weight of it. You have to stand up and say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. And my eyes are fixed on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of my faith. And I'm doing this. I'm doing this. He's my provision. He's faithful. Amen. Doesn't matter what the thing is. The Amplified version of Philippians 4:13 says, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through Him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency.
Amen.
In Christ's sufficiency, He's more than enough, more than enough. And He constantly infuses strength into us. Just see that picture. I'm being infused with strength. I'm being infused with strength. He's constantly infusing strength into me. Oh, good picture.
Amen.
Second Corinthians 2:14 says, Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Always leads us in triumph in Christ. Again, you know, essential scripture to know. He always leads us in triumph in Christ. He always leads us in victory in Christ.
Yes.
Well, guess what? If He's leading, we're following.
That's right.
As part of the equation. He's always leading us to victory. He's always leading us to triumph. So we listen to Him. We stay connected with Him. We follow Him. We draw from His Word. We listen to the Holy Spirit. And He always leads us in triumph. He always leads us in victory. Because what happens? There's a testimony, and God is being glorified. Because He always leads us in triumph. He always leads us in victory in Christ. I like the way the Amplified says it here. But thanks be to God, who is in Christ, always leads us in triumph. As trophies of Christ's victory. We're trophies of Christ's victory. Hallelujah. And then, of course, in 1 Corinthians 15:57, says, But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Who has won the victory already? Christ. And we're in Him. We're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus.
Right.
He's already won the victory. And so the victory's ours. Everything that's His, He's given to us. He always gives us the victory. Hallelujah. The next thing I want to look at is the action that we have to take part of. Just like the scripture in Revelation says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Well, the blood of the Lamb is what Christ has done. He's paid the price. But did you see there's something we have to do too? By the word of our testimony. What are we speaking? What are we declaring? What are we living? You know, He's got all these provisions. He's got all these promises. But you know, I didn't know a lot of His promises at one time. Because I didn't know the word. I was saved. I had Christ. But the more I got the Word on the inside of me, the more I saw those promises.
Amen.
That He meant for me to have.
That's right.
So I could be a testimony of His grace. So we've got to do something. We receive His promises. We declare His promises.
Right.
And then we're a living testimony.
Yes.
The Apostle Paul writes in Philippians chapter 3, Verses 13 and 14. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You know, this is so essential to almost everyone. You've got to forget what's behind. Paul had a lot to forget what's behind. You know, he persecuted the Christians. He'd thrown them in jail. He held the coats of the men that stoned Stephen. That was the yoga part. Yeah. And then there was the religious part where he just studied and was so good in all the legalism and religiousism. He says, I forget all of that. Now I found Christ, yeah. I can forget all the rest of it because now all that matters is following him.
Yes.
And pressing on toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Yes.
In other words, I'm going to be all that Christ has called me to be. And I can't do that if I'm looking behind. I'm forgetting what's behind. I'm yes. forgetting the failures. I'm forgetting the ways I messed up. I'm forgetting everything because yes. it's under the blood of the Lamb. And it's going to hold me back if I'm looking at it. I'm cutting it off. I'm leaving it behind. And I'm moving on. Looking at Jesus to the high mark of the calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
That's going to take us from victory to victory. That's going to position us for victory.
Amen.
If we're always looking at what we did, what we didn't do, that's not going to get it. I mean, we all got things behind. But let's be like Paul said. He said it for a purpose because God wanted us to know. Forgetting those things which lie behind, I press on
yes.
to the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I just want to pray right now on that. Father God, I just thank you that you are so good and so awesome and so forgiving. I thank you, Lord, even as Paul set an example with his life, that indeed each one of us right now, this day, this minute, can forget everything that was behind.
Yes.
For your word says if we confess our sins, that you're faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, Lord, we just thank you for the precious blood that was shed for us, that we can have forgiveness, that we can have cleansing. And we say, it's settled by the price that's been paid by the blood of Jesus. And so we forget those things which are behind, and we look to you, the author and the perfecter of our faith, and we stay our mind on you, and we move forward to the calling that you've called us to move toward. I thank you for divine destiny, divine purpose in each one of our lives. And we say, this is a new day. All things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And from this day forward, we're going to look at you, and we're going to move forward. Matter of fact, we're going to press in to that place of the calling with which you have called us. Even as Paul did, with an intensity, with a zeal, with a determination to live for you and to live for you fully and completely. I thank you, Lord, that that's freedom. I thank you that you said, he who the Son sets free is free indeed, and that it was for freedom that you have set us free. Oh, I just thank you for that victory, even as we're talking about victory, that that is a victory that we have in you. And I thank you, Lord, for the purpose with which you've called us. It's a holy purpose. It's a high calling.
Yes,
and we just move forward in that. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Isaiah 1:19 says, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. So we see that that takes a part that we have to do. We have to be willing and we have to be obedient. In Isaiah 1:19, if we're willing and obedient, we'll eat the good of the land. We want the good of the land. We want the blessing. We want everything that God has for us. And to have that, we're going to be willing and obedient. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the ability to be obedient and to be willing. Thank you, Lord. In Ephesians 6:10, I'm going to read out of the Amplified. It says, be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with Him. Draw your strength from Him, that strength which His boundless might provides. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And of course, the scriptures go on to talk about the whole armor of God. And it says, having done everything to stand, therefore stand. In other words, you stand and you stand and you stand, and then you stand some more. Because it's His power, it's His ability, He's the foundation, He's the one that will do it, He is the one that's faithful, and He gives you the grace to do it. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. No matter what you've got to stand through, no matter what you've got to do, His grace is sufficient. It's more than enough. His power working in you and through you is more than enough. Hallelujah. And then a couple of scriptures that I've been speaking all morning, but Hebrews 12:2 says, look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, or the author and the perfecter of your faith. That's Hebrews 12. And if you look in verse 1, it says, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Oh, we need endurance. We need endurance. We need endurance. Guess where that comes from? Him. We draw endurance from the wells of salvation. We stand and we keep on standing. And we run the race that is set before us with endurance. We don't sit down. We don't quit. We don't get off course. But we run the race that is set before us with endurance. And how do we do that? With our eyes fixed on Jesus. Letting go of anything that ensnares and entangles us. Letting go of any sin. Getting rid of everything else. Being ready, being positioned to run that race with endurance. You know, Jesus ran a race. We all run a race. Jesus ran the race that was set before him. And that the scripture goes into that. It says, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the Father. His eyes were fixed on what was to be. His eyes were fixed on you and me. His eyes were fixed on the glory of God and provision of God. Set that example for us. So we can keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and we can run the race with endurance. Amen. And then another one of my favorite scriptures is in Isaiah 26. There's a couple of those Isaiah ones I really like. It says, you will keep him, in verse 3, it says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. So that's why I always say, okay, eyes fixed on Jesus, mind stayed on God. And it says he will give you perfect peace. The word there is shalom, shalom. And the word shalom means wholeness, completeness, total well-being. He will keep you in perfect peace, completeness, wholeness, total well-being, whose mind is stayed on him because you trust in him. If I'm fixing my mind on the Lord, if I'm staying my mind on him, I'm thinking about him, I'm trusting him, that's why my mind's fixed on him, he's going to give me perfect peace. You know, we can have peace in the midst of a mighty storm.
Oh, yes, we can.
Because our mind is stayed on him. Because we trust in him. Another action we take place is in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Oh, yes, being transformed. You know, not thinking like the world thinks, not filling your mind with the stuff the world fills it with, but filling your mind with the Word of God, fixing your eyes on Him, staying your mind on Him, being empowered by the Word and by the Spirit, yielding yourself to Him. The Bible says that we're not our own. We're bought with a price. Right. It says your body is not your own. It is bought with a price. The precious blood of the Lamb, and therefore you are to glorify your God with your body and with your soul and with your spirit.
Amen.
I'm yours, God. I'm yours, God. And my mind is going to be renewed because I'm going to take action on what you've told me to. And I'm going to fill it up with the Word of God. I'm going to think on the Word. I'm going to meditate on the Word. I'm going to read the Word. Some of you heard me tell this tale before, but we were ministering in the area of healing when we were in Australia once, and this lady comes up and she says, I want my boyfriend to get prayer, but what if he doesn't get healed? And I said, well, if he doesn't get healed, then we'll teach him the Word, we'll give him the Word, he can listen to the Word, he can speak the Word, he can read the Word. And she goes, that sounds like brainwashing to me. And on the inside, I'm like, yes, 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 I want to be brainwashed with the Word of God. That's what I want coming in, going out. But on the outside, I said, no, that's how children learn. you know, just like in school we learn, because, you know, they write it and they read it and they look at it and they speak it. So, you know, praise God. But just want you to know, I want to be brainwashed with the Word of God. It's a good place to be. You know, if we think like God and we make the decisions out of that place of wisdom, out of that place of revelation, out of that place of anointing, victory, 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 victory.
Yes, that's true.
Victory. We've got an example. Jesus did it. It said he became a man in all ways. He had to take our place. But he was full of the Holy Spirit. He was led by God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. There's a scripture that we use a lot in healing that I want to share with you, because it's so talks about what we need to do as far as staying in that place and persevering with God. If you'll look with me at Mark 8, beginning in verse 22. Mark 8, verses 22 to 25 is what I'm going to be reading. Because you know, when you learn a principle in God's Word, it applies to more than just that thing. This is talking about healing, but it applies to other areas of our life, because faith is faith, and we use faith to attain everything we have need of from God. And they came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to Jesus and asked him to touch him. They entreated him to touch him. And taking the blind man by the hand, he brought him out of the village, and after spitting on his eyes and laying his hands upon him, he asked him, "Do you see anything?" And he looked up and said, "I see men, for I am seeing them like trees walking about." Okay, I want you to see what happened. They said, "Please heal this blind man. Please heal this blind man." So Jesus takes him by the hand, and he takes him out away from all those people he's around. I just love it. You know, it's like Jesus wants him to receive his healing. But he's in a place where there's other voices, there's other distractions, there's things going on where he can't have that full focus that he needs to press in to get his healing. So he takes him by the hand and takes him out, spits on his eyes, and prays for him and says, "Can you see?" And we're talking about Jesus. We're talking about he got plenty of anointing, okay? And the guy says, "I can see men like trees walking." In other words, I can see, but I can't see all the way. Okay? And Jesus looked up and... No. The man looked up and said, "I see men, for I am seeing them like trees walking about." Then again, Jesus laid his hands upon his eyes. Okay? So, didn't happen the first time. Wasn't complete. Wasn't finished. What's Jesus do? Well, let's get it finished. Let's get it done. Let's don't stop halfway. Let's push in, press in. Let's get that healing.
Amen.
You know, sometimes we get discouraged if what we're believing for faith we don't got right now. Right. And we got to push in, press in, persevere. And this is an excellent story of it.
Yes.
Then again he laid his hands upon his eyes, and he looked intently. The man looked intently. That's some action he was taking, and he was moving beyond the first time. He was looking intently, and was restored, and began to see everything clearly. Okay? Some action on his part. If you read the parallel passage, no, it's the same passage in a different translation. In Mark 8, 25, out of New King James. I just read to you out of New American Standard. It says, "Then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up." Made him look up. Made him look up. So you see what they're trying to say in those translations is Jesus was working with the man. They were both doing their part. And the result was full restoration.
Amen.
It says, the man looked intently. And Jesus made him look up. In other words, come on, you can do it. I'll show you. I'll give you the scripture you need to look at. I'll give you what you need to think on. I'll help you. Now, come on, you can do it. You know, Holy Spirit's the best encourager, exhorter that we've got. But we position ourselves to not give up, to not be distracted, but to press in, to keep on keeping on. You know, there's some crazy teachings out there. You're only supposed to get prayed for one time. Well, Jesus prayed for this man twice. You know, the goal is Jesus wants you whole. He wants you healed, delivered, and been made whole. And whatever that takes, he's willing to walk with you through it to get you to that place.
Hallelujah.
Whether it means taking you to a different place than you've been before and get around, away from that those voices that distract. In verse 26, it says, "Then he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell anyone in the town." Does that make you think, oh, that wasn't a good place for him to be? In other words, if you go back into town, they're just going to discourage you and speak against it, and you're going to be in trouble again. So don't even go back there and tell them.
Right.
Just walk in that place of healing and provision. So this is another area of victory, and we're talking about healing, but it can be finances, it can be peace, it can be whatever it is. Jesus has paid the price for wholeness.
Amen.
And he's going to help you. He's going to work with you. He's going to press in, and you're going to press in to get to that place where you've got the total victory.
Hallelujah.
Because it's been purchased for you. And he wants you to have it. Isn't that awesome?
It is.
You know, so let's don't get under condemnation. Let's don't get into frustration. Let's just get into God and get the victory.
That's right.
Amen. Keep it on, keep it on. Hallelujah.
A lot of people want to know why you weren't healed instantly. There's two types of healing. In the Greek, it was but it means instant healing. It's opotheos, and it means an instant healing. It's the type of healing that Jesus did on
miracle.
Lepers and,
yeah.
And some blind. And then there's
it's like therapy, yeah.
It's like therapy, which mm-hmm. is a process of healing.
Yeah.
That's what that means, a
Amen.
Process of
therapy.
Healing. And what you just discussed was a process of
That's
healing.
Right. That's
Either
right.
way, it's by his stripes.
That's right. It's already the provision that he has totally, completely made. And we learn. We learn.
Yes,
you know, but he wants us to go from victory to victory.
Yes.
So that's why we're looking at these scriptures today.
We can't get discouraged when we're not.
That's right.
Or instantly
know all the word of God, or instantly know all the promises, or instantly have peace every time I want to have. You know, we press in.
We just had a miracle with the girl with the cancer.
That's right, we did, with Heather.
That's the process.
Hallelujah.
And it's awesome. Amen.
Awesome. Position for victory takes, number one, faith. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And the life I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's Galatians 2:20. The second thing is obedience. If we're going to be positioned for victory, we're going to walk in faith and in obedience.
Amen.
Like James 1:22 says, we're to be doers of the word and not hearers only. And that means obedient to the written word and obedient to what the Holy Spirit speaks to us, the word of God now. And number three is perseverance. Perseverance. Hebrews 6:12 says, imitate those who through faith and patience or perseverance inherit the promises. We inherit the promises through faith and perseverance.
That's right.
Some translations say patience, some say perseverance. It's the same word. It means patience, endurance, constancy, steadfastness, and perseverance. 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 It's a good thing. It's a good thing. Hallelujah. Father God, I just thank you that you want us to be positioned for victory.
Yes.
You want us walking in victory. You want us to be a living testimony to you. And you want to bless us because we're your children and you love us so much. I thank you that your word is full of truth concerning this. And I thank you, Lord God, that it's your faith that has been given to us. And we're going to walk in faith. And we're going to walk in obedience. And we're going to walk in perseverance. And we're going to be victorious in every area of our lives because your word says that you meet every need we have according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And your word says you do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think according to your power that is at work in us to bring you glory. So we just love you. And we thank you and we praise you. And we declare this is an imperishable seed that has gone forth into each of our hearts and lives. And that we will feed on your faithfulness and will live out of this divine truth and revelation by the Holy Spirit every day of our lives. And we'll give all glory and honor to you. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus.